Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Yassas, everybody! You know the drill. We've started this podcast to help anyone who is remotely interested in trapping and neutering animals. We're the help we did not receive when we first wanted to get involved, and we want to be your new besties in the TNR world. I'm Alex, one of your hosts for this ride, and I'm so grateful to have Adele by my side. Hey, Adele!
Hey, Alex, how's it going?
Good! How are you calling us from Paris?
Okay, you know, just eating croissants and looking at pigeons and stuff.
Just living the life.
Living the life. How about you, Sterling? How are you?
I am good. I cannot complain. Cannot complain at all.
Yeah, because today we're joined by the Trap King himself, Sterling Davis. Adele, do you want to introduce him?
Sure, of course. So, yes, today we are with Sterling. You guys might know him as the Trap King. He is the founder of his organization called Trap King Humane Cat Solutions, which is a TNR-focused organization he launched back in 2017. And since then, he's been featured on shows like Cat People on Netflix, spoken at major events like CatCon, and helped thousands of people learn how to trap and care for community cats. And with his work, he's not only spreading awareness about the importance of TNR worldwide, but he's also breaking stereotypes, proving that you don't lose cool points for compassion.
I love that motto. So, Sterling, thank you so much for joining us. We're so happy to have you. And we do like to ask all of our guests the first question. And it is, when did you first become vegan and why?
Oh, wow. So I became vegan like 6 years ago, but I've been vegetarian since I was 12.
Oh, wow.
Because I visited a slaughterhouse. And it wasn't like, I wasn't just visiting a slaughterhouse just to go to a slaughterhouse. I actually had an interview that I was doing, like a writing contest at my school. And if you won the writing contest, you got to do an interview with a popular magazine. And the person that I was interviewing was a man named Marcus Rothbart. He was the founder of Cattlemen's Meat Company. So I was going to interview him about surviving concentration camps and coming over to America and being successful. But he owned a meat company, Cattlemen's Meat Company, and that's where I interviewed him at. So while waiting for him to come to the interview, being a young kid, I walked around and saw some stuff, and that did it for me. I went home that day after that interview and told my mom I'm not eating animals. Nobody else in my family was vegetarian, vegan, or any of that. But from what I saw, I was like, oh, I can't eat animals no more. That's it. So I was vegetarian at 12, and I went completely vegan about 6 or 7 years ago.
Wow, good for you. And actually, I have a question about that. And I think we've talked about it in person, but there's not actually that many vegans in the animal rescue world. I wish there would be more, but Adele and I are, you are. And I was just wondering if you had an idea of why other people who rescue animals are not actually making that connection.
You know, I don't know. It's a little weird. It's a little weird that they don't. I would expect more, even a lot of events that I go to,
yeah,
rescue events, they don't have vegan options or they have very few vegan options. So it's a little weird. I'm not actually sure, but it helps my argument because I get attacked by bird people a lot doing TNR. Like, bird people are always mad. They're like, you helping the cats, you hurting the birds. And they always argue me down. And I've had to end the debate a few times with, do you eat chicken? So
that is a pretty good argument. Nice one.
Because if you eat chicken, then you might not like the birds as much as me, actually. So I've had to end the argument with that a few times.
I don't know why. I don't know why either. Adele, do you have any thoughts on that? Why do people rescue cats and dogs but don't actually make the connection with like pigs or cows or, you know?
It's hard to say. I mean, for a lot of people, it seems like easier to care about dogs and cats. And also it's kind of a cool thing, right? Like, a lot of people care when they talk about loving animals, they talk about dogs and cats. These are the animals that are frequently in our lives. But I mean, we see the same for others, like pigeons, for example. Like, these wild bird people, they probably don't care about pigeons, but they're around us all the time. And I don't know. It's probably very complex and varies place to place. But yeah, I think it's probably easier. It doesn't take anything from you to say, like, I love dogs and cats, and you don't have to harm them in your day-to-day life. It's easy to avoid it. But if you don't want to be involved in harms to other animals, you have to make actual changes to your life. And it's a little bit like TNR in ways, I think. Like, a lot of people say they love animals, but they don't necessarily go out and rescue them or do TNR or things like that. So it's almost like an inaction versus an action. One's easier, one's not. Yeah, but it's complex. What do you think?
Yeah, but I do agree. And I do think that even though if people can't be vegan, if at least they can offer more vegan options, especially what you were saying, Sterling, in those like animal welfare conferences or any events, if we can have more vegan options, would appreciate it. And then maybe that will turn a few more people vegan, you know? So thank you for being vegans, though. Thank you for being vegan for the animals. And we do appreciate you. And more about your story. So you went from being a rapper to a cat trapper. So how did it all start?
Yeah, rapper to cat trapper. I've been doing music my whole life. And I actually been loving cats my whole life, but I never thought that would be my thing, a profession. I didn't know it was a profession. I didn't even know what TNR was until sometime in my 20s, late 20s, I guess. But yeah, I was actually in between tours. I was on a break and I just saw an ad in Craigslist to help out. So I was thinking about doing a job for about 2 months until I went back on tour. And I saw the ad on Craigslist and it was like, come help out, scoop litter, and take care of some cats at a local shelter. And I was like, cool. Because at the time I had a cat named Rick James. And I was like, cool, I could just go do this for 2 months. This is easy. I got cats. I love cats. I just scoop some litter for 2 months, go back on a music tour. But the place I was at, they were like, even in an interview, they were kind of amazed, like looking at me like I was an alien or something. And I realized later on they was looking at me like that because I had my nails painted, kind of an eccentric guy, and they wasn't used to seeing Black men with cats, like handle cats and love them the way, you know, like that. It wasn't a typical thing. So they asked me to stay and they wanted me to stay longer. When they first asked me, I was like, it's no way you could pay me what I'm making on this music tour. So I'm not going to stay. But eventually I saw in a month there, I could see why they wanted me around. It was a lot of, they didn't have a lot of men. They didn't have actually any men in the cat department. And when you go out and do TNR, you just don't see a lot of Black men, a lot of diversity in cat rescue. You don't see it. So I think it's good. Representation matters. So I think what they were wanting was for me to help spread the word and educate different demographics. And it hit me in the feels. It hit me right in the feels.
And here you are now, running your here own I am charity, now. I look- doing TNR yourself.
Yeah.
And like, Sterling, you make a really good point, and that's the big topic we wanted to talk about with you is yeah, as we all know, most people involved in animal well-being are white and they are women. I mean, like we're proving a point with Adele, both white and both women. And I just wonder, like, why do you think that is? And that is, I mean, it can be in America, but it's also the same in Europe, in the UK. Like, it's not only an American problem. It is everywhere. So I was just wondering, like, why do you think that is?
Well, I think a lot of times with anything, people have to see themselves in it. I think with the way I grew up, especially as far as men goes, it's a lot of hyper masculinity in the situation. So when I grew up, a lot of my uncles was like, man, why are you messing with those cats? You need to get a dog. A man should have a dog. I even speaking at schools before, with our buddy Mary, we went to a school one time. And I spoke at the school and about TNR and cat rescue, and a young boy came up to me and he literally thought that all cats were female and all dogs were male. He thought all dogs were male, all cats were girls. And this is
That's
what he
wild.
Thought. This young kid, this is what he thought. This is how hyper-masculine the situation is. So I think that's one of the reasons why it's women, is because we put a gender, we put a sex as if a man can't paint his nails or have a cat. though, is I think that's one of the reasons why it's all women. I think with race, it's more just culturally a lack of education. I'm working on something right now, like something similar to called Cat is the New Black, kind of trying to debunk the relationship between Black people and cats. I think it's education. If you're in underserved communities, Black and brown communities are, a lot of them are underserved, and you become desensitized to it. Growing up, you'll see a possum or a raccoon in the street or a cat, and they've been hit by a car, and you're used to seeing it. Nobody comes and cleans it up or do anything, so you just get used to seeing it. You don't care. It's just a part of everyday behavior. So we taught to love the dogs, but we don't get into the cats. So I think it's between education, a lot of, like I said, hyper-masculinity as far as why we see just one demographic in something. And I think that's bad. I think the best communities, the most progressive communities or situations are diverse. So
agreed.
We gotta help our trap queens out.
Do you think because I know, like, for example, you and Nathan's are posting a lot on socials and you are showing what it is like to be a cat dad. And I know there's more and more cat dad people growing on social media. So do you think, at least for the men part, things are changing? I know there's more men adopting cats. We've seen that. I don't know about if there's more men involved in animal rescue yet. I know it's changing with being a cat dad, but are they involved yet?
It's slow. I think we're in the beginning stages. I think we're still, I'm happy to see a lot more men jumping on social media and posting their cats and sharing pictures of their cats. But I would love to see more rescue, but I think we're in the beginning stages. I think the first thing we have to do is admit that we like the cats and then be involved and go to the vet and do things like that. And then we'll get into rescue, because I'm just now starting to have, at a lot of the events that I go to, once I come off stage, I'll do a TNR presentation. And after I come off stage, a guy come up to me and he's whispering like, "Hey man, I got a cat too. I like this too. I love them." And I'm like, "Hey, why are we whispering about it? You could just say that you like cats and stuff. But it don't have to be a secret." Like, so I think we're in the beginning stages of liking, knowing that it's okay, that your masculinity isn't going to fall off if you adopt a cat and you like a cat. So I think we're in those beginning stages. And once we get to that, more men will understand the rescue, because that's how it was for me. I love cats, but I didn't know anything about it. So even the cat Rick James that I talked about, I bought him from a breeder. I had him declawed. And those things are bad. I didn't know that you should adopt and not shop. I didn't know that declawing the cat is the equivalent of taking the tip of your finger off. I didn't know that, but I love cats and I wanted a cat. So early on, I just had to like cats, and then I gradually learned what was right and wrong and the rescue way with things. So I think we getting there. I would love to see more in rescue and not just saying, "Look, I'm on Instagram with a cat."
Speaking of that, what do you guys think about, because of like how few these groups of people are in the world of rescue, when they do enter, do you see any trends with like men will tend to get like popular faster, get more attention versus like all the women who are active in the field? Like, is there any disparity there or not?
Oh yeah, I get a lot of some slack about that too, but it's human nature. It's life. I mean, if you look at Eminem with rap, he's a white man in hip hop, and he blew up and got big, and it's probably because he's so different. But at the same time, is he good? He is good. He is good for hip hop. He's great at hip hop. He's one of the greatest. So I think it's the same way men will come into cat rescue and get more attention because it's so different. I know that I get a lot of attention because I'm a man and because I'm a man of color. But at the same time, like I said with Eminem, it's good for it, because what's bigger than me is the overall mission of spreading the word. So if I'm a tool to get it to different demographics and different areas, but I'm no better than the women. I'm not as good as the women that taught me. I had some women that was climbing trees, taking their high heels off after work, climbing trees and grabbing cats and rescued them. I'm not even on the level yet of some of the women that taught me. So we're getting there. We'll be good. But
that's
I do
awesome.
Catch a lot to answer your question, though. I do hear that a lot. Like, I've been trapping for 30 years. Who are you to just come up because you a guy and get all this attention?
Man? Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. And we also see this across rescues in other parts of the world, right? Predominantly white women who go to other parts of the world and like start a rescue center or whatever. Like, yes, there are plenty who are having big change, but there are also local people doing it. But the people from abroad, the people from the global north, they get all the attention. And the local people, perhaps who know the context better, get overlooked and they don't get as much funding. I saw a statistic recently about Asia in general, and if we talk about like all the animals that are farmed in Asia, I think it's like 75% of all the farmed animals are farmed in Asia. But do you know how much funding goes to Asian rescues? 8% of all funding for animal rescue. That's wild. And so certain parts of the world, they get this more attention, especially if they're people from the global north.
Wow. That is, but I think we need to, I can't, like I said, the attention, those that are getting the attention, I hope that they're working with rescue and shining a light on other people. Cause that's a lot of what I try to do is I do a lot of fun stuff, fun videos with Nathan, my brother Nathan, the cat lady and Drennan. And I do a lot of fun stuff like that to build the platform on social media. But my main goal is to spread the word, to educate. And I use that as a tool. So I hope a lot of people that are just getting the attention and not doing the work or not involved in the work use that attention to get the work done.
We do need to take a quick break and we'll be back in a second.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5-mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, we are back. And I was just going to plug the trip coming up, right? Like, you guys are going to do that, hopefully, in the coming months?
Yeah. We've been talking about it. We might be going to Nicaragua in a few months.
Yeah.
But I did want to talk about, because I met Sterling back in Greece a few years ago. So you came, actually, because we reached out being like, hey, you know, there's a big cat problem in Greece. Do you want to like raise awareness with Americans and come and see it for yourself? And so you came and spent like 10 days with us. And I just wanted maybe to talk a bit about that and the difference you saw between TNR in Greece versus TNR in America. Because I think that was quite an experience for you. I think that was it your first experience of TNR abroad?
It was my first experience in Greece. TNR. I had been to Cartagena. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. I think I've been out there before and did some rescue stuff. And I've been to a lot of different states in the country, but Greece was definitely an experience. Like, for one, it was beautiful, but for two, it was a lot of cats. Like, we would go just to restaurants eating, and the cats would just hop up on the table like, what's up? Oh, I'm hungry. Like, I'm here. It's a bunch of us. But I think I learned a lot. I learned a lot from Greece because from doing TNR in Greece because we have the resources in America, but I feel like we don't have enough love or compassion a lot of times. A lot of areas and situations, we have the resources, the traps, the food, the vets. We have more resources, but we don't have as much love and compassion. Out here, we need to teach more of that. But in Greece, they didn't have a lot of the resources, but all the love. Rarely did I run into people that didn't want the cats there in Greece. Like, everybody loved the cats, wanted to help the cats. They just didn't have the same resources. That's how I got introduced to some different trapping styles. That was the first time that I used the box cover trap, that you just like a box with a handle at the top. You just put it over on top of the cat. That was the first time I used that, which is actually a great idea. But usually we have the standard trap that cats walk in and it closes on its own. Or you have the drop trap that's like the stick in the box and you pull the string. But that was my first time using such a trap like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And because like I've seen your videos, and with your RV, what you usually do, and tell me if I'm wrong, is that you'll put the trap outside and wait for the cats to go in. And you can wait hours. But in Greece, because there's so many cats, you usually don't even have to wait hours. You just put the trap and there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 cats going in.
Well, we went to, I think it was Idra. That's how it was. It was like, as soon as we got off the boat, I'm thinking we're going to set the traps and set the bait. No, the cats are just walking up without food. It's like, oh, we're trapping them right now. Like, this is happening instantly. Like, forget putting the food down, the bait, they coming. So, yeah, it was definitely different. But I loved it. I love that experience. I love crowning a trap king and a trap queen of Greece. I think, again, that's another method of shining a light on the people that's boots on the ground and doing it. And it was fun. It was definitely fun. It was definitely a learning experience. But I think that's the difference, though. I think we could learn a lot from the compassion and the love that people have out there. Because it's not to say that we don't have it at all out here, but it's definitely a lot more out there. A lot more compassion and love, less resources. Out here, we got more resources, but we might need to be a little more compassionate and get into it.
Yeah, that's well said. And I think what you're saying is so important. We all need to shine a light on people who do the work. And we also need to support each other. And I think that's one thing I've seen worldwide, is that sometimes people in animal rescue and TNR, they, instead of supporting each other, they try to compete against each other, which... we're all in it together. Like, it's, we're all facing the same problem. And I know you've been working on the group One Up, right? One United Paw. Can you tell us more about that?
So One United Paw is I'll say it's a more of a movement that I started recently, working with other people at rescue. And it's because in cat rescue, we have so much infighting. And I think a lot of it is competition. We're highly critical of one another. And I think compassion fatigue and burnout comes from that. Like, compassion fatigue and burnout in animal rescue, we expect, when we go in, we expect to see the animals with the busted eye and they're starving, or they're too skinny, or they hurt. We expect to see that. That's probably why a lot of us got into rescue. But what we don't expect is when someone doing the exact work that we're doing, working against us in ways that it's like, I've been on social media, I've seen people go on another rescuer's post and say, oh, you just rescued two cats? That ain't nothing. I did 30 yesterday in a day. I saved 30 cats in one day, and you over here posted two cats, big deal, whoopee-doo. And you know, that person that rescued two cats is now like, well, damn, what am I, maybe I should just stop, maybe I'm not helping. That's where the compassion fatigue and burnout comes from. That's where a lot of people might get started and stop. But if you rescue one cat, you're doing great. You're doing good. It's not a competition. And I think that's probably one of our biggest enemies in cat rescue. And that's what One United Paw is about. One Up is about bringing people together. If you love animals, if you love cats, you love rescue. Some people can't do TNR. Some people can do foster. Some people can do the adoption. Some people might just have the space for TNR cats to heal. But together, we're stronger. And that's what One United Paw is really trying to get people to work together and stop the infighting. It's going nowhere. It's really hard to get to educate other people, get more people engaged if we're fighting. I go in a lot of areas and speak, and I've heard so many people say to me, just like they tell me with the vegan community, like, y'all vegans and animal people crazy, y'all fighting each other. So why do I want to come be a part of that if y'all fight each other all the time? Why would I want to be a vegan if you just do this to me about every time you see me eating meat? So I think we need to be better at, be more compassionate about delivering our message the way we are with the animals and working together more. So that's what One United Paw is about. I'm actually getting ready to go to Tennessee for an event called the Ultimate Cat Conference. And I'll be speaking about a lot about that. The Ultimate Cat Conference in Tennessee, y'all got to check that out. It's going to be big. It'll be myself, Kitten Lady will be there, Jackson Galaxy will be there. My buddy Nathan, of course. I can't go nowhere without Nathan.
Yeah, exactly. You guys are always together.
Yeah, that's like we attached at the hip. People start to see me now and they just look at me, and before they say hi, Sterling, they like, where's Nathan?
How do people join that One Up movement if they want to? Like, is there any steps?
Well, right now we just started our Instagram page, and we want people to come on to the Instagram page. And if you have any stories or messages, anything that represents collaboration over competition, working together, or stories where people weren't working together and now they came together, any collaboration stories, we're asking to have them sent to the One United Paw Instagram page. So that's where we started off now, because we want to share those stories. I love those stories. I'm a big crier. Like, I cry over every dang thing. And so I love when I see those stories or hear them when people were fighting or didn't like each other. And now it's like, you know what? Listen, you got the transportation, I got the traps. Let's work together. Let's squash the beef and let's make it happen. I love situations like that, because that's how I am. I'm gonna squash the beef. Like, I'm not gonna stay bad. We're gonna hug it out eventually.
I love that. I think that's one thing we've been doing really good in Greece, and that's even how I met Adele, is through connections. I feel like there's a lot of small organizations in Greece, and they're all been trying to work really well together. And yeah, because Adele, you have a lot of connections, and I know that when Adele has like a cat that needs rescuing or fostering, she has a network. And I definitely think that's just how we can make a bigger impact. It's just how we all need to stay connected, and we all need to support each other and try to find solutions.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's one of our biggest enemies.
And there's so much work, right? And it's kind of an impossible task for any one of us to say, I'm going to fix everything. Like, that's very illogical. All of us have different skills and something to contribute. And why not, right? Why not spread the load? And that helps with this compassion fatigue and burnout thing you were talking about before, Sterling. It's such a relief to know that if I find somebody in need, I can help them because I have a network of people who are going to support me and who are going to support that animal. That's really special. And instead of creating divide, we should be celebrating that.
It's needed. I always felt like music, comedy, and cute animals bring people together. So
you combine it all and you push people to do TNR.
combine it all and push the mission.
Sterling, we're running a bit out of time, but I wanted you to give advice for anyone listening to us, anyone who is like, oh, I really want to, you know, start doing TNR, or I really want to start rescuing animals. What would you tell them if it's, you know, what would you tell yourself like 10 years ago when you first were getting started?
I would say what I would have told myself when I first got started, I would have said, and I'm going to tell everybody out there, look into other organizations and groups in your area before you just say, hey, I'm going to do this and I'm going to start a nonprofit or a rescue. I'm going to do this. See who's in your area and what's needed. Because a lot of the infighting that we have a lot of times is because you'll have an organization, a rescue organization, people will disagree in that organization, and then they'll leave, and in that same area start their own rescue. So now you can have, within a 20 to 50 mile radius, you have 4 or 5 TNR rescue groups doing the exact same thing. And so now they're competing over resources. They're fighting over whose cat this is or what this is. So if you want to get started, look and first learn and find your niche and see who else is out there doing it. Like, if you have 2 TNR groups in your area, then you probably should be an adoption group. or a foster rescue, but you probably shouldn't be another TNR group because they have that already. So you want to add and help the mission. If I could have talked to myself back then, I probably wouldn't have dove in heart first and just started Trap King. I probably would have worked with more with other organizations because I didn't know that most cat rescue boards have probably no men and no people of color, and they need the diversity.
They do.
And they needed a TNR guy like myself. So instead of me starting my own TNR group in the midst of other TNR groups, I probably would have did that. So I would say, look around in your area, your community, see who's doing what, and see what the area really needs instead of just saying, I can do that better than them, or I can do that like they do it. I'm going to do one too. That probably isn't helping as much. If you got a bunch of people doing TNR, somebody needs to do Bottle Baby Foster. And I'm telling you, Bottle Baby Foster ain't no joke. Everybody needs some Bottle Baby Foster. You want to wake up every 2 hours with mixing KMR anal glands on your fingers? Got a job.
That's very
got
true.
A job.
And where can people find you if they want to learn more about you, more about what you do, if they want to see you singing? Where can they find you?
Check me out. Definitely. I'm on all social media platforms, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook as The Original Trap King. I just did a documentary that it's kind of a tearjerker on Disney Plus called Pets. It's called Pets. And I just did that Netflix Cat People. You'll see both.
When does a Disney Plus documentary come out?
It just came out this year. Just came out this year. So yeah, you can check it out on Disney Plus, but it's called Pets, and it's like a love letter to our pets. And I'm on there doing TNR cat rescue, of course, but it's a lot of other people on there. I'm telling y'all now, it's a tearjerker because it's kids on there with their pets, and it's gonna punch you in the feels.
Oh, thank you so much, Sterling. Thank you so much for joining us on this adventure. We're so excited about it. And I would love to hear about what you have to say about TNR or starting your own rescue or any questions you have for us or for Sterling. So don't hesitate to send us a message on Instagram, Facebook, or every platform. Thank you so much, Sterling.
Thank you for having me. Here, a bunch of slow blaze, good people.
Thank you. See you all at our next episode. And in the meantime, stay out of trouble and keep trapping to save the streets one animal at a time.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.